The truth. Only the truth. That's what a witness is supposed to tell. Just the truth. Well, we're well over half the period of the 40 days of Lent right now. And we've been hearing the witness to who Jesus Christ is. Witnesses that God has placed in his word so that you would hear and that you would believe in him. We've heard the witness of Isaiah, a witness of the hope that a suffering Savior would bring, a witness we know was true. We've heard the witness of John the Baptist, everything he said about Jesus, and it was true. And last Sunday, our brother Andrew, he spoke on the witness of the official son, sick to the point of death. And though he was a foreigner, an outsider, he was a recipient of the grace of God, how he rested in that grace, and a witness of Jesus to his family and his household. And today I want to talk to you about the witness for Jesus of the man born blind and the sight he received. And folks, I want to tell you that God asks, no, commands, even foretells that his disciples will be his witnesses of what has happened to them. That is what he asks of you, not angels, not God himself, but you will be his witnesses. Why? Because angels can't witness to what they have never experienced. Only mankind can experience and be a witness to the saving, redeeming grace of God through Jesus Christ and the miracle of God in us, his Spirit. You know, sometimes we think something remarkable has to happen to be able to tell about it. The truth is that if you belong to God, something remarkable has happened to you. I heard this true story. A week-long evangelical campaign was being held in the city. Every day they had a Christian that had achieved something great that people would be drawn to. One night they had the world's strongest man. They asked the people who were touched by God each evening to call in to do a quick interview with the organizers, kind of a follow-up. A man called in. They asked him, "What message did you hear that moved you to follow Jesus?" "Oh," he said, "it was the message from that fellow in the wheelchair." The organizers, they checked back. They said, "We had the world's strongest man that night. We've not had anyone in a wheelchair all week long." He said, "Well, he wasn't the main speaker," he said. "After it was all over, they took this fellow in a wheelchair up on the stage. They gave him a microphone, and he told about what Jesus had done for him. And I figured, if a guy in that condition could talk about Jesus with conviction like that, then that is what I'm looking for." Folks, you don't have to become someone special or important to be a witness for Jesus Christ. In God's eyes, you already are. God wants to use you to be a witness to the world, to your neighbors, those God brings into your circle, to bring spiritual sight to eyes that are blind to the reality of God. Do you know you have to witness something to be a witness? A man was asked a few questions about the circumstances of a break and enter in his apartment complex. The police asked him why he thought he knew who the thief was. He said, "Because Mrs. Tuttle on the fourth floor said she saw someone who looked like the man from behind walking up the stairs that evening." The police asked further, "What about you? Did you see anything?" "No," the man said. "I was in Las Vegas on a holiday." To be a good witness, you have got to know and understand what you have seen and heard, what you have experienced. The Bible talks about blindness a lot, spiritual blindness. And Paul, in his letter to Corinthians, compares it to a blanket being placed over your head. He says, to this day, the same veil remains when the scriptures are read. It has not been removed, because only in Christ is it taken away. Even to this day when Moses is read, a veil covers their heart. But whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. He was saying most of the Jews, even though Jesus was a Jew, are as blind to the plan of God as if a blanket was placed over their heads. And then he says this twice, and this is the key to today's message. When they trust in Jesus, the blanket comes off and they can see everything. If Jesus is your Lord and you allowed him lordship in your life, that is what opens up spiritual understanding. The Bible starts to come alive. You start to understand things that seemed all mixed up and strange. Things begin to make sense. What is so amazing about sight? God gives it through his son Jesus. And that compels us to share it with others. Paul says, I can't help but preach the good news about Jesus. Well, let's look into the account of the man born blind. Would you open the Word of God to John chapter 9, verse 3? John chapter 9, verse 3. Neither this man nor his parents sinned, said Jesus, but this happened so that the work of God might be displayed in his life. His life is a witness to us, on display for us, to show how God works in a person to bring them out of spiritual darkness into light and into sight, and finally becoming a witness for him. He's on display for us. This is how God works. And so we need to pay attention to this story. Here's a man born blind. He needs two things to be able to see physically. He needs light, and he needs eyes that can see the light. The same is true if you are going to see spiritually. You need light. The best eyes in the world can't see in complete darkness. Now look at verse 5. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Jesus is the light to your spirit. Like a growth light is to a greenhouse. He provides you the light you need to see. And that light is himself. And next, Jesus gives the man his sight. Now, this man was born blind, and that's important because it shows that we are blind until we meet Jesus. He heals the man. How? Look at verse 6. He spit on the ground. He made some mud with the saliva, and he put it on the man's eyes. Go and wash in the pool of Siloam, which means sent. Something has to be washed away before we can see. When Paul was made blind on the road to Damascus and he was led to the city, and then God sent Ananias to go and give him his sight, it says something like scales fell off. Jesus says in the Sermon on the Mount, take the plank out of your own eye, then you can see clearly. At harvest time, when we're combining, you get the dust and the chaff in your eyes, especially on a day like yesterday. You go to bed, and while you're sleeping, all this junk comes out of the eye with tears, and somehow it hardens into this gunk. In the morning, you wake up. It's hard to pull your eyelids apart till you go to the sink and wash. And the same thing happens spiritually. We have to get clean from the sin that causes us to lose sight. Sin blinds and it deceives us, so the truth of God can't be seen. But notice where Jesus sends the man to wash. It's to the pool called Siloam, which means sent. That's not a coincidence. Jesus, the sent one of God, sends this man to wash in a pool that represents Jesus himself. It means this. We need to go to Jesus to clean us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and will forgive our sins. And miracle of miracles, as the man obeys Jesus, he comes back seeing. Now remember, he's on display for us. There's a deeper meaning here. And what has just happened physically to the man has also happened spiritually. He has now been born again from death to life, from blindness to sight. Now here's the question. Which healing is more important? The physical or the spiritual? The spiritual, of course. Don't ever be trapped into thinking the physical is the main thing. The physical is still important to God, but he cares so much more about your spirit that he should have first place inside of you. You see, a person with a perfect body and a shattered soul is a wreck. But you can have a destroyed body and still be whole spiritually. Isn't that true? You hear people say this, "I have a soul." They got it wrong. You are a soul. You have a body. The soul is eternal. This body is temporary. His eyes have opened, and he can see the truth. He's made bold, and he begins instantly to be a witness, telling those around what happened to him. The very same thing happened in the story of Paul. As soon as his eyes were healed and his body recovered, it says, he immediately went forth preaching that Jesus was the Son of God. There's nothing like the testimony of someone who's just come to Jesus. The excitement and the joy and the freedom, they just can't keep it in. They might not have everything straight, but they have Jesus and they have life. But not everyone shares in the excitement. Look what happens next. The Pharisees begin to speak badly about Jesus. And the seeing man now begins to dispute with them. He defends his Lord's honor. Look at verse 33. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. And they replied, "You were steeped in sin at birth. How dare you lecture us?" And they threw him out. A witness to Jesus Christ will face opposition. Not might, will. I've experienced it. Jesus said, "If they hated me, they will also hate you." But now look at verse 35. And I believe this is one of the most beautiful verses in all the Bible. Jesus heard they had thrown him out. And when he found him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" "Who is he, sir? Tell me so that I might believe in him." Jesus said, "You have now seen him. In fact, he's the one speaking with you." The man said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshiped him. Folks, when you witness to the truth about Jesus, when you tell the truth about Jesus, opposition comes with it. But Jesus himself will come looking for you to encourage you, to reaffirm your faith. Jesus will never be closer to you than when you're hurt as a witness for him. Do you want Jesus to be more real in your life? Be a witness for Jesus. He'll be right there beside you. We think of the great witnesses in our past, in our history. We think of them as being strong in the faith. Folks, they are made strong because they witness. Remember the parable of the talents that Jesus told. Whoever has will more be given. This man born blind, he's on display for all of us to see the work of God, how God works. He never saw the light of day till he met Jesus, but he was never the same after. This is what Jesus did for him. That's what Jesus has done for me, and that is what Jesus will do for you. Do you know Jesus? Then be a good witness for him. Honor his name. Honor him. Do you want to know him? Folks, we are far, far from perfect church. We can all admit that. We're far from perfect. But if you are looking for Jesus Christ, he's here. He's here. Understand the miracle of spiritual sight. Believe the witness of the blind man, but trust in Jesus. Amen.